This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for coming out. I know the U.S. soccer match going up against that. I'm pretty impressed with the turnout. I succumbed to thinking there was gonna be four people here today, and we're gonna be in a kumbaya table. So I'm excited. By show of hands, how many of you saw my speech 2 years ago? Raise your hands. Great, thank you. And by show of hands, how many of you have no idea who I am? Please raise your hands. That fucking hurts. That's a tough way to start a morning. Okay, so I apologize for the 20-30% that have heard some of this, but since so many of you don't, I'm gonna set up a little bit of context. Then I'm gonna speak a little bit about what I would call the current state of selling stuff in America. I mean, we can call it social media, but I wanna make sure that everybody in this room understands the only reason I care about social media is because it sells stuff. And whether you're B2B or B2C in this room, trying to get to the consumer about your project, what you're building, or a vendor, or trying to get to the developers in this room and become part of that business model, I am completely convinced, understanding the context of this room and being here a couple years ago, I'm completely convinced with my entire heart and soul that even the most progressive in this room are grossly underestimating what's actually going on in our society right now when you incorporate the digital changes we're living through. And that's what I want to focus on. The truth is, as I stand here, you know, I'm about to give a keynote speech. I feel pretty good about it. It's gonna go well. You're gonna get excited because I get excited, all that good stuff. But then next Thursday happens and all the rallying we're gonna do this morning kind of goes on the wayside when actual business gets in the way. And so just to set the tone, my biggest agenda here this morning is to convince one person of the reality of the marketplace and have that one person actually execute. Let me explain. I was born in Belarus in the former Soviet Union. I came to the United States when I was 3 years old. My family immigrated to Queens, New York. 8 family members in a studio apartment, half the size of this stage. Very ghetto upbringing. My dad, really, it's kind of fun to say that in this room, my dad was in the construction business in the Soviet Union. When we came to the US, it was the late 70s. My dad thought he was gonna get a construction job. I see a lot of faces in this room. I'm sure plenty of you remember the late 70s. The market wasn't so great. So my dad had to get a bunch of side jobs. One of them was to be a stock boy in a liquor store in Clark, New Jersey. My dad commuted from Queens to Clark for an hour each day, getting paid $2 an hour. It was kind of that story, right? I kind of lived the American dream story, first generation immigrant. I probably associate with more of the grandparents of the people in this room than the people in this room. That's kind of my life. When we moved to Edison, New Jersey, because my dad became the manager of this liquor store in Clark, I started my first entrepreneurial venture. I had a 6 lemonade stand franchise. Now, how many of you remember the big wheels, those little bikes? Remember, I used to ride my big wheels at the end of every summer day, collecting my cash from my friends like I was little Tony Soprano or something. So that was good, made a couple $100, which was a ton of money for our immigrant family, especially at age 6 and 7. When I was 12, I started my first real actual business. In 1987, if some of you recall, baseball cards were the phenomenon of America. And so I would do baseball card shows. I would rent a table for $200 and sell baseball cards in the malls of New York and New Jersey. And I was making $2,000 to $3,000 a weekend selling baseball cards at this age, which, you know, if you're 14 and you have $30,000 in cash under your bed, and you're not selling weed, you're doing a good job. So that was big. You know, I do think, thanks Brian, I do think that I will buy the New York Jets one day, but I do know that I will never be more rich than when I was 14 and had 30,000 in cash, because Nintendo was like $200. I didn't know what to do with the money, right? When I was 15, my dad ruined my life. Being the firstborn immigrant son, my dad had now executed on his American dream. from 1978 when we came to the US until 1985. In that 7-year window, we spent $0 on anything. We saved every dollar, and that allowed my dad to buy a small liquor store in Springfield, New Jersey. He started building it up. I became a teenager, and as you can imagine, he dragged me into the family business like every immigrant family does, and he paid me $2 an hour to work in the basement bagging ice for 15 hours a day. So I went from making $4,000 to $5,000, $3,000 a weekend to making $30 a weekend bagging ice in the basement of my dad's store. I did that every weekend and every summer vacation for 2 straight years. I call those the dark ages. When I was 17, 16, I was finally allowed to come upstairs. Who saw the movie The Goonies? Raise your Goonies. I was literally Sloth. Remember Sloth, who was like chained to the basement? That was me for 2 years in my dad's store. I was finally allowed to come upstairs and something very interesting happened. I hated the liquor business. I wanted to get involved in my family business because it's just kind of what you do when you're like that way. But I didn't want to sell liquor and beer, and it just wasn't that interesting to me. But we were lucky. We were in Springfield, New Jersey, which is actually around Short Hills, Summit, Livingston, New Jersey, affluent areas if you know that area. And so in the early 90s, as wine started to become something in America that we cared about, we felt the impact of that because we just have affluent customers around. And even though my dad's store was called Shoppers Discount Liquors, you know, you kind of now know why I rebranded it. People came in and asking for wine, and on one fateful day, everybody came in and asked for Camus Special Select Cabernet Sauvignon 1990, which was just named the Wine of the Year by the Wine Spectator. After a series of questions with 30 different customers asking for that bottle, I realized something very special, which was people collected wine. And once I made that connection of Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Ken Griffey Jr., which is what I was doing with my baseball cards, Silver Oak, Camus, Chateau Lafite, same crap. And so I took all my passion from learning about stats of sports to no 16-year-old in the world should know as much as I did about Pinot Noir and Sancerre and everything. And for the first time in my life, I went from, I'm gonna open up 9,000 baseball card stores one day, sell the franchise and buy the Jets, to I'm gonna open up 9,000 liquor stores and wine shops, sell the franchise, and buy the Jets, right? That became the plan at that moment. My freshman year of college, now I was a DNF student, and as a freshman in college, I probably spent 20 minutes on a computer in my entire life. I just want every single person to pay attention to what I'm about to say. I'm about to spend the next half an hour talking about technical stuff. Computers and social media and the cloud, the internet, all this stuff. And I've been doing this a long time. And a lot of people in this room who are running businesses successfully long before all this stuff always like to say things like, Gary, I get it, but I didn't grow up with this stuff, right? I just want everybody to know, I did not grow up with this stuff. I was not techie. I did not own a computer. I was 19 years old when this fateful day happened where I was in my dorm room playing Madden 94, dominating by the way. My friend ran in, said you have to come and see this. I went to his dorm room, there's 10 dudes standing in front of a computer. I at least knew what a computer was, but like just to put into context, I had a word processor that I was supposed to use to write papers, I didn't, but I had one. And they're standing in front of it, and it was the first time I heard coo coo ch k. Remember that sound? AOL, $4 a minute, dial-up internet. Real ripoff. Anyway, and I said this amazing statement. I said, is this the information superhighway? That's what we used to call it, youngsters. It was pretty sad. Anyway, and my friend Joe looked me dead in the face and he said the words that changed my life forever, which was, he signed on, it was AOL, 1994, signed on, looked me dead in the face, and he said, we can get chicks on this thing. So we did age, sex, location, some of you remember ASL. I waited, this is how to put it into context. I waited 4 hours for my chance to get on the internet. I watched for 4 hours 10 other people sit down and go on the internet because it was that mind-blowing. This is only 20 years ago, to put it into context, right? I jumped on and within 15 minutes, I realized, poking around, clicking, hitting a couple buttons, I realized, holy crap, I can sell stuff on this thing. And it was the first time I ever thought about not spending the money or time or infrastructure to launch 9,000 this or 9,000 that. I said, I can launch something on this, sell it, and buy the New York Jets. This is where it starts becoming important to you guys. In 1998, I went into my family liquor store business full time. In 1996, while still being a sophomore in school, I launched the second ever e-commerce wine business in the US called winelibrary.com. I rebranded my family business to Wine Library, and from 1998 to 2005, in a 7-year window, I grew my family business from a $3 to $65 million business. Now, here's what's important where it crosses over to us in the building industry. I did a lot of things in that 7 years that mapped to a lot of things that are being done by the practitioners here, which was traditional marketing. I did the yellow pages. I did newspaper ads. I did local radio. I did buy in the B2B magazine. I did buy billboards and local cable. And I did so much goddamn direct mail that I still look at trees sometimes and think they're pissed at me. I mean, I did all those things. But there's something else I did that I want to harp on in this room today that is what matters. I have now had a 20-year professional career. I built my family business to a large business. I started a social media agency 4 years ago with my brother AJ. I've grown that from 20 to 400 employees and to a $50 million revenue business in 36 months. I invested in things like Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and Uber and Birchbox and have watched these businesses go from seed round funding to $1 billion companies in 5 years. I also have General Electric and Mountain Dew and Dove and GE and all these enormous Fortune 100 companies as clients for the last 4 years. I've seen small businesses, entrepreneurship, Fortune 500. I've played the gamut. There's one thing that I want every person in this room to think about. If you write down anything from this talk, if that's how you roll, or if you remember anything from this talk, let me explain to you the one thing that connects all those businesses that I've seen win, and the one thing that connects all the businesses that I've seen lose, AKA when I begged with all my heart for Blockbuster to pay attention to this thing called Netflix, and they didn't give a shit. And now they give a shit. Unfortunately, they're dead, so they don't give anything. So the one common thread, the one thing that binds every person in this room, whether you're a vendor, B2B contractor, developer, the one thing that is a common theme and is going to be the variable, the single variable to why people in this room 10 years from now are successful versus the ones that are not going to be as successful. There's only one variable. The one thing that I'm good at, the one reason that I've been honored to be able to stand in front of you again here today, twice in 3 years, the one reason I've been able to build businesses so quickly, pick startups that have made me a lot of money by going public, like Facebook and Twitter and Uber Next, is I actually suck at 99% of things when it comes to business. I'm super ADD, I'm not that organized, I make a lot of mistakes, I'm chaotic, but there's one thing that got me here, and it's the one thing I want everybody to focus on in this room. The one theme for success is, are you marketing in the year that we actually live in? And I just wanna sit here for 13 seconds quiet for a dramatic pause, because I want everybody to really think about what I just said. If you are sitting here and you think about how you spend your time and money to make more money, and it doesn't map to the behavior of the people that you're trying to sell to in 2014, you are vulnerable. Why did Blockbuster go out of business? Blockbuster passed on buying Netflix for $25 million. They passed. They sat in a boardroom and they said, next agenda, Netflix. Do we want to buy it for $25 million? By the way, this is like 7 years ago. This is not so long ago. And they pass. Do you know why? My favorite thing in business, and some of the bigger organizations here, people are going to start laughing. Their data showed that their customers didn't care. Their data showed that their customers liked going to the store and touching the DVDs. Their data showed that their customers liked going to the stores because they might serendipitously run into one of their neighbors. That's what their data showed. I don't know about you guys, but here's the experience I like. Pressing one button while I'm naked in bed and watching the shit that I want to watch. How many people here now watch television outside of live sports and award shows, now watch television on your time? Meaning, you're not tuning in when it airs, you're watching on DVR, TiVo, on demand, Netflix, on the go, HBO. Raise your hands, don't bullshit me. Raise your hands if you watch. Raise it high, because I want everybody in the front area to look back real quick. Raise your hand if you watch television on your time. Okay, thank you. I'm gonna guess that that's about 95% of this room. Now, I think we can all agree, with all due respect to this room, that this is not a high school aged crowd, right? And 95% of the hands went up in this room because you now watch television on your time, because technology has caught up to an opportunity where you can do the things you want to do on your time, not when it actually happens, right? And so 95% of this room watches TV now on your time. Just curious, by show of hands, how many people in this room in this year, the first 6 months of this year, when watching those TV shows, have fast-forwarded every single commercial? Raise it. Interesting, another 90%. Meanwhile, $10 billion in money is spent to make commercials and distribute them to tell you a story about the products. My clients are spending billions of dollars trying to tell you how good their soda or bottled water or services. Several different people in here within your organizations are running local television to tell you how good this thing is and you should buy it. We're storytelling like it's 2006 or 2003. Or 1994, even for the people that didn't raise their hand in here, the 20 of them, if a commercial is lucky enough to get by, right? Like, maybe you dropped your remote off your bed, right? Even if a commercial's lucky enough to sneak by and tell you how great a product is, every person here, when it goes to commercial and they're not changing the channel, is taking their attention and they're giving it to their phone to check their email or to tweet out what they just saw. Because my friends, the other thing that binds everybody in this room, the number one thing, even more importantly than what I said earlier, which is market in the year that we live in, because the truth is, some of you will be lucky enough to not market in the year that we live in and hold on for long enough to where you don't care anymore, right? And that's about, how many people here by show of hands are retiring in the next 6 years? And I don't mean you're gonna crush it. I mean, you're old and tired and you're finished. 6 years. Raise your hand. Raise your hands if you're retiring in 6 years. Raise your hands real quick, retiring in 6 years. All right, so for the nine of you in this room, I respect you taking where I'm going with this with a little bit of a grain of salt. You're probably gonna be able to hold off just enough to where it's not gonna move fast enough to really disrupt your current landscape of business, and you'll be on your way fishing, camping, enjoy it. Thanks for all the hard work. But for the rest of you, the speed in which innovation is happening is extraordinary. And that's what we need to focus on. How many people here spend money trying to reach, how many people here consider themselves in B2B? Raise your hand, B2B. You're trying to reach somebody. Great. And how many people consider themselves B2C? Raise your hands. Great. So more B2C, which is where this really matters. But I would argue that the 30% of this room that's in B2B doesn't actually think this is very important to them. That they feel like, well, my customers or who I'm trying to reach are not on these platforms, right? That they're not, the decision maker is not spending his or her time on Facebook or Twitter or things of that nature. Let me paint you a picture of how we do B2B business. My current agency is B2B. I can tell you there's a really remarkable tactic. I've been trying to make my keynotes less philosophical and more tactical so people leave and actually get impacted by them, not just emotionally, but it changes their bottom line. So for the B2B people in this room, I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to say. I landed a $4 million account for my company very recently, spending about 17 minutes using social media. Let me explain. I have been in B2C with a $70 million wine business. I'm now in B2B. I can tell you right now, and take it for how it is way easier to be in the B2B business. It is a business where you actually know the name of your customer. You actually know exactly who you're trying to reach. I remember all my friends that were in B2B when I was doing the wine, so they're like, oh, B2B is hard. B2B is awesome, especially in the world we live in now. I know the name of the CMOs that I have to reach for them to hire my company or the brand manager or things of that nature. So recently, I wanted to target this one company. So I put the person's name into Google, right? And then I added the word Twitter after it and Facebook. And sure enough, and I did this for about six people I was targeting. Two of them, of the six, did have Twitter accounts. Even though they're in their 60s and they shouldn't and all that, the world is aging down very quickly. I'll get into that in a minute. And then I started following the two people that I was targeting on Twitter. And I didn't tweet them and say, hey, Johnny, you should check out VaynerMedia. We're a great company. We'd love to work with you. No, that's throwing a right hook without throwing any jabs, right? That's not romancing. That's not playing the long game. So I just watched what this gentleman was talking about. And what this gentleman was talking about was Colton Wong. Who here knows who Colton Wong is? Raise your hand. Very nice. Either Cardinal fans and or fantasy baseball players. He's a young second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, and for some ungodknown reason, this 60-year-old CMO that I wanted his money was really into him and talking about him and excited for the upcoming baseball season. Ironically, 2 weeks later was my fantasy baseball draft. And we do auction, not the bullshit draft stuff. We throw out the name and we bid, hardcore. So I'm sitting and waiting and drafting along my team, and then sure enough, my cousin Bobby goes, Colton Wong, $1. And Colton Wong was barely on my radar. I felt pretty good about my middle infield. But then something reminded me, while he was being bid on, of this CMO who loved Colton Wong. And I decided to bid and win Colton Wong. So I got my Mr. Colton Wong, second baseman, St. Louis Cardinals, and then 2 days after the draft, again, in my Twitter stream, I see this gentleman mention Colton Wong's gonna have a great season, I can feel it. I just drafted him on my fantasy team, and I replied. I struck like a cobra. I jumped into Twitter and said, I drafted him too. Hope he has a great year, right? And he said, yeah. And then we went back and forth, back and forth. And so we talked about Colton Wong for about 6 minutes. And then about 3 weeks later, there was a little more banter. He talked about something, I jumped in, reminded him I was the Colton Wong guy, we talked about something, and this time he took notice of my profile. And he said, what's VaynerMedia? And I said, oh, it's my agency, we do social media. He said, that's funny, send me a DM, which for everybody here is Twitter terms for a direct message, not public. And he invited us to come and meet with him. We met with him, we landed the business. And so about 13 to 16 minutes of Twitter engagement, by first doing about 13 seconds of Google research on who the customer I wanted to get, and by not trying to sell him on my services in the social channels, which is what 99% of B2B people do, they're like 19-year-old dudes, they're trying to close on the first move. You guys know what I'm talking about. No, I had a little patience, a little romance, little Colton Wong, and I landed a $4 million piece of business on what I think is happening in our world right now, which is we're living through the rise of context. If you are not sitting in this room and not realizing there's a word that you should really care about, and it's called context. Context is what's selling. We live in a world right now, my friends, where content is abundant. We are producing more content, videos, print ads, television ads, songs, written words. We as human beings, according to Eric Schmidt, the chairman of Google, are producing as much content, information to pound us with in every 48-hour window as we did from the beginning of mankind until 2003. Let me just say that one more time. From the beginning of mankind until 2003, every word, every video, every song, print ad, television ad, catalog, direct mail, everything we created is now being replicated in every 48-hour window. Yeah, no wonder our kids are ADD, right? No wonder it's so fast-paced. Hey, this is a good crowd for this. I have a lot of empathy for this. Do you guys remember when our work days actually ended? Right? Right? Remember like back in the day when like, you know, I used to think I was a workaholic. I got to the store at 8 o'clock in the morning. I left at 10 p.m. But at some level, it was kind of over at 10, right? I got to get home at 10:15 and like, it was over. Now, if I get an email at 12:03 in the morning, like people expect me to reply at 12:04. We are living in a 24/7, 365 world. My friends, that's why all of you are watching television on your time. We value time now more than we ever. Watch this. I'm about to blow some of your minds completely out of your head. Watch this. By show of hands, and don't be embarrassed, by show of hands, how many people in this room now actually get upset when another human being calls them? Raise your hand. Raise it high. As a matter of fact, do me a huge favor and you're gonna get lazy on me. Please stand up. I'm watching you. Please stand up. I see you, sir. Don't get lazy on me. Yeah, that's right. You in the blue. Please stand up. If you are upset, liars, and don't get lazy on me. Circulation's good. There's a couple more of you. I will run to you because I saw you raise your hand. Please stand up. If these people in this room, this many people right now, are actually upset when another human being calls them. Let's clap it up for these pioneers. You can sit, bro. When I come back in 3 years, 85% of this room will stand up to that question. What those people understand or have started feeling is they don't understand why you are calling them on your time and disrespecting their time. You can text, you can email. As a matter of fact, how many people here have started texting or have been on the receiving end of somebody texting them saying, can I call you right now? Raise your hands. That's almost everybody in this room. Think about that. We subconsciously understand that we are now, that's us being polite to the other person. We're respecting other people's time. Uber, how many people are familiar with Uber? Great, so Uber, for the ones that aren't, is an app where you hit one button and a black car taxi service comes for you. Started here in San Francisco, one of the best investments I've ever made. When I invested in it, people were like, who needs a black car? This is, you know, this is such a 1% problem, right? It was this kind of conversation. What people don't understand is Uber's not selling transportation. Uber's selling time. In New York City, everybody told me it would have no prayer. We have the best transportation system. You can get around easily, but if I can get an Uber that guarantees it's gonna be there in 4 minutes versus the chance that I can't get a cab for 5 minutes, I'm doing it because we value time. My friends, the people in this room that are selling, whether B2B or B2C, you are not respecting your customers' time. You're pounding them with messages that are selfishly good for you. Come and see my thing. Come to my open house. Check out my development. Check out my thing. You are pounding them. The people in this room that understand in 2014 that we are now living in a world where I look at all of your faces, and it's a good looking crowd. I look at all of your faces and I say to myself, every one of these people is in the media business first and then what they think they're doing. As you sit here and you think about what do I do for a living if I asked you one by one, I'm telling you, you're in the media. You need to educate me about mortgages, not sell me mortgages. You need to educate me not only just about mortgages, but everything that has to do with the home world, and then I will respect your business even more. We need to provide value. Supply and demand of attention. We are living through a massive problem with supply and demand of attention. Everybody here is being fragmented. What do you think, your direct mail piece? How many people here can't wait to leave this conference, go home, open their mailbox, and carefully go through their direct mail? That's what I thought. Yet, plenty of people here are marketing in a way that doesn't map to their behavior. Plenty of people here are spending tons of money and tons of effort trying to get to customers. How many people here want to get cold called? Zero. How many people cold call? Plenty. Got it? How many people here love going to their LinkedIn and getting spammed by 80 people that are trying to get to them to sell? Nobody. How many people do it? A shitload. We market in a way that has nothing to do to the way that we want to be sold. And that blows my mind. The bad behavior that is going on in the business world in 2014, right this minute, in a world where there is alternatives that we could be looking at, is interesting to me. Meaning, how many people here by show of hands, and if you raise your hand, I swear to God, I'm gonna run out to you, ask you where you're doing it, and double check, because I don't want you to lie to this question. I will double check, and then I will tweet to my million followers that you are a liar. How many people in this room are doing Facebook dark posts to sell for their business? Raise your hand. Zero. My friends, this is the creme de la creme of this industry. There's not a person that raised their hand to that question. As a matter of fact, watch this. How many people here have no idea what the fuck a Facebook dark post is? Raise your hand. Very good, everyone. I stand in front of you right now, June 2014, and I tell you that Facebook dark posts is the best converting to sales product that I have seen since Google AdWords in 1999. In 15 years of marketing, banner retargeting, website content production, Twitter, Facebook organic for the last 5 years, right this minute, Facebook dark posts. They are also known as Facebook unpublished posts. What they are is, how many people here have a Facebook fan page for their business? Raise your hand. Great. So a lot of you remember for the last 5 years what we've been doing, right? Build up your fan page, right? Like an email list. Build up your page and then put out stuff to them. And it's better than email because the truth is they see it and they could share it, so it has the word of mouth that email used to have. Guys, do you remember back in 1997, 98 when we used to get an email and we would forward it to everybody in our address book? Remember that behavior? Crazy. Anyway, how would you like to, friends, be able to reach every single person on Facebook if you wanted to? That's what a Facebook dark post is. No longer do you have to build up a fan page. You now have the ability to go on an admin in Facebook and create a query. Maybe you want to target people that just got married, right? And just changed their job in the last week. Might be somebody who is moving and looking for a new home, right? Or how would you like to target somebody who spent $50,000 at Home Depot in the last 60 days? Or a million other queries that now Facebook has on the back end that allows you to target 17 people with these seven different variables, or 17,000, or 17 million. You wanna go broad? You wanna target 18 to 31 year old females that like Beyonce? You're able to. You wanna focus on 18 to 31 year old women that like Beyonce, live in St. Louis, like Colton Wong, and drink beer? Great, 29 of those, and you can tell them something very specific. I am running ads that cost me $1,000 and converting $40,000 in wine sales because I'm targeting somebody so narrow. I've got clients, we sold a $4 million part for one of our clients on a Facebook dark post, B2B, because we were able to plan on the back end the place that the person went to college, because we knew all the people that held that job went to Carnegie Mellon, right? And so, my friends, please, if you leave with anything from this, leave with, go Google what a Facebook dark post is. Go give that information to whoever runs your marketing and understand that what I talk about, where all my money is being made, where all the business opportunities are, is to market in the year that we live in. Right now, Facebook dark posts cost a certain amount. In 24 months, when everybody's doing Facebook dark posts, that same thing that you can run for $1,000 is gonna cost you $15,000. That's just how it works. I own the word wine on Google, first result, for 5 cents. 9 months, nobody bid me up. Now that's an $18 word. If you do any Google SEO or SEM. I know this, my friends. I know more than the sun will come up tomorrow, this one statement. Marketers ruin everything. It's what we do, and I'm proud of it. When I saw Snapchat, while you were all debating if it was sexting, I couldn't wait to figure out how to ruin that fucking ghost with my concepts. How many people here signed up for Groupon, Living Social, one of those deal of the day daily candy sites? Raise your hand. Email services, Groupon, Living Social, raise them one more time. I want to make sure how many people signed up. Remember 3 years ago when you signed up and you couldn't wait to get $40 worth of sushi for 20 bucks? When that was the best? How do you like that now? You hate it because marketers ruin everything. How many people have done email marketing in their career or are close to the email newsletter in their business? Raise your hand. Oh, great, great number. Wow, great. Wait to hear what I'm about to tell you. 1997, winelibrary.com email service. 1997, 400,000 people on the list, 89.9% open rates. Just for the people that don't do email marketing in here, if you're in the 30s right now, you're a genius, right? Why? Marketers ruin everything. In 1997, how many people had email in 1997? Raise it. Remember? We read every goddamn word. Because marketers hadn't ruined it yet, spam hadn't taken over, and you just read everything because you thought there were letters. That's what we did with letters. We read everything. Same thing's happening on Facebook right now. How many people have Facebook on their phone and check it once in a while? Raise your hands. Great. So as you know, you're going through baby pictures, friends pictures, this and that. But then something but it seems right because you're into it. Facebook dark posts, sponsored. They know who you are. You've given a lot of data. You've given data to other places like your MasterCard behavior and all this other stuff. You may sit here and think, ooh, that's spooky. But the truth is, nobody gives a shit about privacy. You think you do, but your behavior proves that you don't. And so there they are, and you're actually seeing them. This is not a banner ad on the right side of a website that you don't see anymore. This is right there, right there. And everybody in this room can take advantage of this tactic and sell a hell of a lot more homes, get a lot more contract deals, sell their supplies to development projects and people, sign up more people for mortgages, whatever you want. Every person here, B2B, B2C, can use this tactic and it will work for 18 months at a certain price and then everybody's gonna figure it out and it's gonna be more expensive and it will still work and you'll still do it, but for the next 18 months, you can get more upside. Yet, not a soul in here knows what it is and not one person does it. And by the way, with all respect, and you'll feel good about this, this is a consistent theme for the last 60 days of every conference I'm at, even the most progressive marketers, because the truth is, we talk about headlines. A lot of people in this room read a Wall Street Journal headline that said, Facebook organic reach is down, and have debated, is Facebook worth it? Right? You might have read the Gallup poll that surveyed 14,000 people this week that said social media doesn't sell anything. That's fun. They went to people, 14,000 of them, and said, hey John, do you think social media makes you buy stuff? Guys, none of us want to think we're being manipulated by marketing. If I asked you if you think commercials sell you something, you would say no. Or direct mail, no. Or email, no. Or social, no. And so, we live in a world of headline reading. It's what I do. I've stopped talking about everything. I realized as I listened to all the smartest marketers talk about Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff, and realize how dumb they are in it because they're not practitioners, they're headline readers, I said, man, that's how I must sound when I talk about healthcare or politics. So actually, I don't talk about shit anymore. I just talk about the Jets, wine, and social media. You come up to me later and want to talk about something else, I'm not talking to you. I'm scared to sound that dumb. And so I'm talking about the details, the practitioner. I'm talking about the fact that if you search open house on Twitter, twitter.com/search, that if you went there right now and you typed in open house, and you saw the hundreds of people that every Thursday and Friday say, I'm going to open houses this weekend. And you realize that if you're trying to sell homes in the real estate business or as a development, that you could just jump in and say, hey, I hope you have a good time. Not come to my development or come to my website. No, have a good time. Just like I said, hey, Colton Wong. They're gonna see who you are in the profile. They'll get there. Don't try to close on that first move. Twitter is the town square, the cocktail hour of our generation. It's free, and everybody keeps disrespecting it, because here's my favorite. There are people in this room that have drawn lines in the sand, right? People in this room who've been successful for a long time. People in this room who've seen talks, like I'm giving right now 10 years ago, saying the internet's coming, and you're gonna go out of business, right? You've heard this hyperbole before. Here's what scares me. The internet is maturing. We're at year 20 now. And what's happening is innovation is happening quicker. Airbnb goes from idea to really bothering the hotel industry in 36 months. Uber goes from idea to completely disrupting the taxi and black car industry in 36 months. The innovation we're living through, my friends, is faster. And that's what we have to pay attention to. We are living through the biggest culture shift of our time. The internet is the second industrial revolution. It will touch every single industry. And if you underestimate it, it will bowl you over. One by one, one by one, one by one. And so I implore you to pay attention to how to talk, because we're underestimating what's really happening, which is we're living through the disruption of communication. How many people here have a 16 to 22 year old child or grandchild? Raise your hand. Great. Remember 3 years ago when you had this conversation? Hey, little Ricky. Hey, Susan. I don't give a crap how you talk to your friends, but when your father and mother call, you pick up the damn phone. Remember that? Just curious. How'd that work out for you? Uh-huh. And for the people in here that don't have a child in that range, the reason they're laughing is this. There are grown-ass men in this room who in the last 24 hours have texted LOL and OMG. And we're underestimating what that means, because when 55-year-old John and 62-year-old Carl get forced to text because of 14-year-old Susan and 13-year-old Cindy, then they start talking to each other on text. We are living through the youthification of our society, my friends. The biggest trend that everybody has to figure out here, because you may say, oh, well, the 20-year-olds are not buying the kind of homes I'm selling, right? What you're underestimating is the youthification. If you're lucky enough, I want you to sit here and think for a second. If you're lucky enough, fortunate enough, to have known your parent at the age that you are right now, if you're lucky enough to be sitting here and know how old you are and knew your parent at that age, just think for 1 second right now how much older they were at your age right now than you. It's remarkable. If you look at the data right now, the average 46-year-old woman in her behavior, what she wears, what she spends her money on, what she does for entertainment, how she rolls, the average 46-year-old woman right now acts more like a 29-year-old woman just 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, you guys familiar with selfies? Who knows what selfies are? Got it? Here's a good one. The fastest growing sector of people taking selfies are 40 to 48-year-old women. That's right, friends. Cougar selfies. You agree with me, but what's gonna happen next Thursday when you didn't hit your number, or there's a bad meeting, or something happened? We need this room, this industry, with zero hands on Facebook dark posts. I don't even wanna get into Pinterest. Don't even get me started on Pinterest. Pinterest will be the single most important platform for this industry in 36 months. Write it down. Pinterest will be the most important platform digitally for everybody in this room, because Pinterest is intent to buy. People go on there and they search pictures. They're not there to keep up with their friends or their friends' kids like they are on Facebook. They are there to window shop 3.0, right? And it leads to sales. The amount of developers, and look, my minority investor in my agency that I took money from very recently is a guy by the name of Steve Ross. He owns Related Real Estate. And some of the stuff we've been able to do, he's building an $18 billion project right now on the West Side Highway called Hudson Yards, right? And when I look at what they want to do to promote it, which is, let's buy full page ads in the New York Times, right? And all that stuff, it just blows my mind. And when we show them just the little things that a Pinterest or a Facebook can do for a hundredth of the price, and that's what I'm talking about, my friends. Instagram, another platform, but you can't track the sales. It's like print. There's no linking out of Instagram. However, every 15 to 35 year old in America right now is spending an ungodly amount of time in their Instagram account. It is the new Facebook. And so there are plenty of things going on, and we can continue to ignore them. You're more than welcome. You're gonna roll and run your business the way you want to. But I implore you, if you get anything out of this talk, if you got up this early, if you skipped the USA-Germany game, if you went to sleep at 2 a.m. because you drank a crap load last night and you still got here at 8:30, if you're here, then I'm hoping to bring you some level of value, and that value is simple. If you audit everything you spend your time and money on, everything, organizationally, externally, if you audit it, list everything you do every day, time, and everything you spend money on, and you drop the bottom 25% of the dumb shit you're doing because you've always done it, it's your normal behavior, it's what used to bring you value, and you cut that out and you apply that 25% into trying the new things that are happening, your business will be dramatically healthier. Because when we draw lines in the sand, we lose. My friends, the quickest way to go out of business is to be romantic about how you make your money. There are people in this room who are romantic. When somebody comes to them in their organization, you may be that person coming to the boss in your organization, and they say, hey, how about this? And they look you in the face and say, no, no, this is how we've always done it. That guy, that girl is a loser. I'm not joking. That is a losing player in business, and I'm not trying to soften it. That is a losing mentality. I'm trying to put myself out of business every day. I don't give a shit about social media. I can't wait for Oculus Rift, virtual reality, and robots, and smart watches. I'm ready, because the truth is, innovation doesn't care about you or me. I'm pumped that I understand marketing in 2014, but guess what? I can be out of business in marketing in 2016 if I'm not willing to put in the work and live in the world that we actually live in. And I'll close you with this, and then I want to do 10 minutes of Q&A, so please get your questions ready. I sat in a room with a CEO of a billion-dollar company selling to 14 to 17-year-old girls. I came in, I said, look, we need to spend a lot more money this year on Instagram, Snapchat, Vine. We have to. Gave them all the compelling reasons, because at the end of the day, you need the attention of who you're trying to sell to. They're spending their time in there. I gave them all the data, made it all MBA, Harvard Business School for him, because that's how he likes it, did all that shit. And then he looked me in the face and he said, Gary, this is great stuff. He goes, I gotta be honest with you, I just don't get Instagram. And then I look him in the face and I said, that's great, Dick. Oh no, that's his name. Sorry. I go, that's great, Dick. I go, but you're not a 13-year-old girl. And so you sit here and you say to yourself, as the developer, as the proprietor, as the guy, well, I'm not on Instagram, but I don't check Facebook. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what your customer does. And if you underestimate the innovation of what's happening at the customer level in 2014, and if you don't understand that 10 years ago, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, smartphones, did not exist 10 years ago, and you apply what's gonna happen in 10 years, and you don't understand, you're gonna be looking for a job. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Thank you. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Influential by Panini Pete. Gary triggers your brain constantly. He's got me always questioning my results, reasons, motivation, the whys, and most importantly, how do I bring value to my world? Love his lessons. I'm a better leader, businessman, entrepreneur, and better dad. That's huge. Share this with all the people you care about. Thanks, Gary. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.